Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Just going to pray for us. Lord God, I'm so thankful. The Lord, that you are our greatest miracle. Father, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Healer, our Provider. You are the Waymaker. Lord, there are so many. There's over 1,000 names, just millions upon millions of ways that we could recognize who you are, Father. And for that, I'm so thankful. And today, Lord, we need you. Lord, there are so many situations in each and every one of us that need a response from you, all the way from physical healing to spiritual to relational. Father, we need finances. Lord, we need wisdom to make decisions in life. Lord, as we just live each and every day, Lord, we are dependent upon you for the very breath, the very air that we breathe. So, Lord, just make a way for us. Lord, let us know that you're present. Lord, not as a corporate body, Lord, I want to know. I want each individual to know in their circumstances that you are there for them, that you will never leave them, that you have never left them, or that you've always been there. And Lord, that you will not forsake them, that you will not leave them to their own devices if they will just turn to you for the answers, if they will turn to you in their questions, in their minutes, their hour, their life of need. Lord, you be the one. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. All in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Ashley, you want to come up? And she's somewhere. She's always behind me.
We are going to head to children's worship. So kiddos, if you want to go to Grace Kids, y'all can start making your way that way. We are 1 week away from our end of summer party at Water Rampage. So make sure you are getting you and your family signed up for that. There's some flyers around the room and some signs on the doors where you can sign up for that. And then we are 2 weeks away from Backpack Blessings. If you are not getting updates about kids' information, just make sure you let me know and I'll make sure we get you added to our Facebook page and our email address or email group.
Everybody keeps reminding me of something that's happening this coming week, and I'm trying to forget it, but it can't be forgotten. Wednesday night at the Central Campus, and we're only meeting there just because of the size. We need the room for this this gathering for us to vote on the future of our church. If this is the first time you're hearing that and you're like, what is going on? Please come see me because I don't have time to go into that right now. But it is the future of the United Methodist Church and how we are voting to either stay with United Methodist Church or we're voting to disaffiliate from the United Methodist Church to be able to follow where Christ is calling us to go. And so Wednesday night at 7 o'clock over at the Central Campus. Now, here's why it's so important for me to tell you about it right now. If you are not a full member, okay, that means you haven't signed up, in other words, and I know that's a weird thing to say, and for the last 20 years, I have not cared about membership whatsoever. Many of you have been attending for 20 years, but you've never become an official member. Well, you can't vote. Okay, and so that's United Methodist discipline polity rule. That's in our little book of rules that we have for the United Methodist Church. And so come see me afterwards if you want to be a member of the church. And I ask you some questions about your vows to Christ, most importantly, and who you are in Christ. And we will get you signed up for that. Now listen to me and hear me clearly. If you are not a member and you come on Wednesday night, you can't vote, all right? So we need to do that before Wednesday. And let me say this. We also say that you need to be a member in good standing. And so somebody might be watching today, that's why I'm saying that. Or maybe you're here today and you haven't been in the last 15 years and you're like, oh, it's so good, this new building that's been here since 2009. And you go, oh, I'm going to come and vote. No, you're not. Okay, a member in good standing, a person who is a part of us, that has been a part of us. And I know that's hard. That's hard for me to even say, but to be a part of the community and to be able to vote, that's important. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Come find me afterwards. I can send you a whole lot of information if you've missed everything that's been talked about, and I'll be glad to get you up to speed. What I want to talk about today, though, first I want to pray for your offering. And where Christ is in that, and then to also talk about who Christ is in us and the miracle that's waiting for you. Lord, today as we, Lord, as we give, might be online, Lord, it might be a recurring gift that we just, it just happens every month, and it might be something that we have to do right here today. Lord, I pray for that gift. I pray for the calling on our hearts to give to you. Lord, I'm reminded each and every day, just really, just probably the last couple of months, Lord, that you tell me I get to keep 90% of everything financial that you give me, and you just ask for 10% back. Lord, I'm so thankful for your generosity and how you continue to bless me, how you continue to not only make ends meet, but Father, you give us an abundance in the Wolfington household. And Father, I believe that's because of your faithfulness to us in response to our faithfulness to you. Lord, let it be so for all of us in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So today, when we, let me get back to it. Today, I want to talk to you. Matter of fact, just quickly while I'm looking this up, and this is how convicted I am of today's message and what's been going on in me the last couple of weeks. If you know somebody that's not here right now, not that they're a greater sinner than you are and you think they need to be here, is that would you text them right now and tell them to grab us online, pick us up on Facebook or YouTube, if you think they need to hear a message today about a miracle in their life, about relationships or finances or spiritually, maybe physically, something that's going on inside of them and they need to hear this today, text them right now. It may be one of the greatest things that you ever do in your friendship and relationship. They may be mad at you because you said they need Jesus today. That's okay. Okay, I'm going to talk to you about telling somebody they need Jesus today. And with that, I want to read this passage of scripture for today. It comes out of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And as we read it, I want you to hear that in a miracle, God wants us to go to a new place so we can be a new person, okay? In a miracle, God wants to take you to a place that maybe you've never been before so you can be the person that maybe you've never been before. God wants to take you to a new place where you have to learn how to act differently so you can reflect Him in your new actions, all right? So, when you hear this passage of scripture, I want you to just visualize, okay? Visualize. You may not even know what the temple looks like in the Old Testament. That's okay. What I want you to visualize is there's a great wall, okay? And on the inside is where the worship of God happens, and on the outside is just normal everyday life, okay? On the inside, even farther inside, is the Holy of Holies, where the mere presence of God actually lived, okay, in the Old Testament. And right on the outside of the gate, right, this gate called Beautiful, right on the outside of the gate is this man. And this is where Peter and John interact with him before they go into the temple, all right? And so one day, Peter and John, would y'all mind advancing the slides for me just on this passage right here? One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Aren't y'all glad y'all aren't going to be here at 3 in the afternoon? We could be. You never know how God's going to work. Now, a man who was lame, okay, not lame as in what we call lame these days. Wow, you're really lame. No, he could not walk. He was crippled, another word that we don't like to use anymore, but he could not walk from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So this idea of ready for a miracle. So there's this man. Okay, he's sitting there, he's begging, and he's asking for money from everybody going into the temple, because it really was a prime place to beg for money, because if you were taking an offering to the temple, you had money on you. It'd be like if you were going to a cash-only facility in Lubbock, Texas, and they didn't take debit or credit cards, and you had to have cash to go in. That'd be a great place for someone to sit and ask for cash. Because what do all of us do now when somebody asks for money? Oh, we're like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, all I have is a card, right? I don't have any cash to give you." And of course, now they say, "Well, I take Venmo. Do you give me your Venmo?" And right here, and so when we think about this, and he's sitting there, Peter and John walk up, okay? And so, first of all, I want to tell you that what was happening to this man was he had friends, obviously, that carried him, first of all, to the temple gate called Beautiful every day. It says every day, not Monday through Friday, I mean 7 days a week, every day they took him to the same place. It even says, carried to the temple gate, where he's put every day from those in the temple court, right? He was carried to the same place every day. What I want to say about this man is, as I think about him and as I've studied him, and really so many people in Scripture where Jesus does a miracle in their life, they were living in their, whatever you want to call it. I call it dysfunction, okay? They were living in their dysfunction, and you're like, "Wow, that's really harsh for Matt, a guy that Scripture says couldn't walk. Why was he dysfunctional?" Because look at what he was doing every day. His friends were carrying him to the same place, and every day he was begging for money. Notice when Peter and John walked up, this is a guy that can't walk, okay? If you want me to feel sorry for the guy that can't walk, then the guy that couldn't walk, when he saw the apostles coming, when he saw people going into the temple to pray, people that believed in God, okay? When he saw people coming to worship, I don't think I would be asking for money. What would I be asking for? Prayer. Could you please pray for me to walk? Would you please pray for me right now for healing? Would you please, I want to walk. No, he was so used to being carried that he was now so comfortable with not being able to walk that he was wanting people to feed the dysfunction of his life of not walking. And I know that's so harsh, but let me just tell you, this is where I think we need to be in our understanding of who Christ is in us. Sometimes we get so comfortable being who we think we are right now that we're not willing to go to where God wants us to be. We're not going to be who God called us to be. And so he's sitting outside the temple gate called Beautiful, which I could go into all of that, look it up, okay? It just talks about, guess why the gate was called Beautiful? Because it was beautiful, okay? It was so different than all the other gates. The hallway from the gate into the temple court, into part of the inner court, where after that was the Holy of Holies. It was ornate. The ceiling, there was gold and silver. I mean, it was the best that could be done. It was all this stuff. He was sitting right on the outside. I'll say the steps. I don't know that there were steps, but I'm going to say he was sitting on the steps of the best that God had to offer if he could just go through the gate. He was sitting right on the edge of the next great thing, the next great relationship, the next great avenue of Christ in his life, the next great blessing, the next whatever it is, the fullness of who God has called him to be, called us to be, sitting right on the edge of it. And I think, get on your steel-toed shoes, we're all sitting right on the edge of the next thing that God has in store for us, because we're so comfortable in our dysfunction of where we are. And what we need is not people to carry us every day in our dysfunction. What we need is someone like John and Peter, which I'll get to in a minute. But let me just talk about those friends, because you have these friends, right? You have these friends that help you stay where you are right now. You have these friends that are willing to carry you because, well, frankly, they like carrying you. They like your dysfunction because it makes them feel good about themselves. You have these friends, right? Well, I mean, and I know you have these friends because I know all of us in some way or another, and I know our relationships, and you can think about people at work or in your family or whatever it is. I mean, you won't admit it, and I won't either, but it's true. Is there some people you like to hang around because, boy, you feel really good about yourself when you go home after hearing all their problems? Amen? You just do. All of us do. Sometimes we like going to help people so we get to understand how good we have it. See, getting stuck in that dysfunction is not only about the person, but it's also about the people around you. And those people aren't helping you. And for this guy, maybe he was asking them to be his friends because they would allow him to stay that way, because they would allow him to be comfortable to go to the same place every day to ask for money, because maybe that made him feel good. Maybe that made him, that's how he identified himself. And you know these people, and maybe you're one of these people. I don't know. I'm related to some of these people that we like to be where we're at, because that's where we find our identity. And so when he's there, and maybe when you're there, or maybe when your friends are there, you say, well, I really don't have a choice. I'm this way because for him, I was born this way. Right? Well, yes, we were all born broken. We were all born into sin. We were all born into whatever it is that we're living in right now. But Christ calls us out of that. He calls us beyond that. Okay? And so for us and in your life, what is it that you think, well, this is just the way I am? Andy Hurst, he said it years ago to me, and I can't remember honestly if I said it or if somebody else said it, but he said, the six weakest words that we can ever say is, this is just the way I am. Seven, sorry, right? I guess you could say, that's just the way I am. That's the six, okay? That's just the way I am. That's not the way you should be. That's not what God calls you to be. And so you might say, well, you know, this is my family, and so I grew up in a really dysfunctional family, and so my family's dysfunctional because that's really all I know. Or I cuss like a sailor because my parents cuss like a sailor and my friends cuss like a sailor. And so I don't know that all sailors cuss. It's just a saying. Nobody write me or email me that I'm bad-mouthing sailors, because I'm not. But, you know, I do this just because. No, that's not an excuse, right? I'm not a good spouse. I'm not a good husband, or I'm not a good wife because my gosh, you should have seen my parents. I mean, my parents were divorced 3, 4, 5, 6 times, whatever it is, or my childhood was terrible, or you just keep going. And I'm not making light of any of that, but it's not about where we are, it's about where we should be. It's about not who we are today, it's about who God calls us to be in the next moment. That's what this man represents. Even though it's a true story and it's about a factual man who couldn't walk, the representation of him to all of us represents every one of us in a certain way. And you know why? Here's what I think. You know why I don't think that he ever asked about being able to walk, or about healing for walking, or why we don't ask for a miracle in our life? Why we don't ask to be different? Because we don't know different. He didn't ask to walk because, well, maybe that walking, I mean, when somebody said, hey, you need to get up and walk, he might be go, walk, what's that? Now, he's seen everybody else walking, but guess what? That was okay for them. You're like, surely the guy wanted to walk. I don't know that he did or that he didn't. Depends on how comfortable he was with his life. Depends on how comfortable he was in his illness, in his sickness, in his pain, in his dysfunction. How comfortable was he? I mean, I don't know. The guy, I mean, this is where my cynicism comes in. I mean, the guy may have been begging for money every day, and he could have had a bank account bigger than all the people carrying him put together, right? Yeah, there was a guy in San Antonio years ago. I mean, decades ago. It was a big article in the newspaper. I mean, I was a kid. That's how long ago it was. We didn't even have the internet. Can you even imagine how long ago that was? And so, I remember it was a big news story. This man that used to sit, he sat on the bridge over the Riverwalk, right in downtown, right near the square, and he played the drums. He had a 50-gallon barrel drum that he had made, and he played, and he always, if you gave him money, he gave you a little slip of paper that was an IOU, okay? Now, I know that's a great gimmick because he didn't take my name and my address when I gave him money, but he always said, he goes, when I get rich, I'll pay you back. When the guy died, guess what? He was a kabillionaire. He had so much money. But it was just this thing, right? And he looked homeless. He lived like he was homeless. He acted like he was homeless. But in reality, he wasn't. So I don't know what this guy's life was. I just know what Scripture tells us. And it says that he couldn't walk. What is your weakness right now? What is the place in your life where you need God to touch you? Because it was only his feet and his ankles, right? And to be weak, to be weak requires nothing of you. To be in your dysfunction really requires nothing of you because you're asking everybody else to do the lifting. You get that? The heavy lifting, they're carrying him, right? Thank you. I may need to get the band back over here to get y'all jazzed up again. I don't know. But really, I mean, what is the lifting that you're allowing other people to do for you because you're not willing to do what God's called you? You're not willing to take the chance for the miracle. And right now you're thinking, I don't understand why does a miracle require something of me? Because it is going to require something of you, and I will get that in just a moment. But when we say that we want to stay like we are, it requires nothing of us. It requires us to stay put. You may stay in your pain. You may stay in your dysfunction. You may stay in your bad relationships. You may stay whatever it is, but it really requires no change from you. Requires nothing of you. And I'm not sure that you all are willing to go where you've never gone before to experience Jesus in a way you've never known before, to live in a way that you've never lived before. Because that's going to require more than nothing. It's going to require something. A change, a transformation. It's going to require a new life. I don't know what it is. But here's the thing. As part of the reason we get used to being crippled is because we have no reference for wholeness. The reason we get so used to dysfunction is we have no reference for the right function. The reason we get used to living in whatever it is because no one's ever showed us or told us or helped us live in a different way. What is your weakness? What is your dysfunction? I don't know how to be a good husband. Then we need to help you learn how to be a good husband. We need to show you, not in a condescending way. Remember, there's no condemnation in Christ. Peter and John didn't say, you're an idiot because you've sat outside God's temple all of your life and you never army crawled your way in, which, by the way, he couldn't have gone in because of his dysfunction in the old law, okay? They would have kicked him out because he wasn't whole. Yes, all the other people that were passing by him were great sinners as well, but their physical malady, what they had going on inside of them was not seen on the outside, so they were considered okay, right? But it was just this idea. It was this idea that he couldn't get there, right? So what is your dysfunction? What is it where you need a miracle? But here's the deal. Here comes the intervention with Peter and John. And I'm really glad it was Peter at this moment and not one of the other disciples, because Peter, he just didn't talk to him. He did something. And let's go back to the passage of Scripture for just a moment. It says, then Peter said, right, that they're walking by, they're walking up. There's a great theological thing that's about to happen inside the temple. It's the reason they were going anyway. They were really going to pray over the temple. They were going to pray about the people. They were going to teach the people to get out of all of their dysfunction, the way they were living. But yet they ran into this man that represented all of us in all of our dysfunction. And he reaches up, did whatever he did. I don't know if he had a sign, if he had a bell, I don't know what he had, if he had a hat, but he's asking for money. And what do they say? Then Peter said, right? He goes, look at us. When we're in our dysfunction, we just kind of live in our dysfunction with our heads down, right? If you've ever seen, we've all seen people that are asking for money at the intersections and they have the sign. Most of the time, sometimes they don't, but most of the time, they won't ever make eye contact with you. They're either living, I don't know what their life is, I'm not judging that, but they're living in whatever it is, in their shame or their discomfort or whatever it is. They don't want to make eye contact with you. Right? And if you know somebody living in that, if you know somebody living in shame or hurt or heartache, if you know somebody living in deep sin, they have that same downcastness of their life and everything that they do. But what does Peter say? Peter says, look at me. Look at us. Give us your attention. It's kind of like, hey, I know what you're doing. I know who you are. I know how you're living. I know what you think your problem is. I know that you've lived this way all your life, but look at me. I just thought of this. When I ever have a deep, meaningful conversation with Macy, what do I always say? Look at me. She just rolled her eyes and looked away. Look at me. Peter says, look at us. And so the man does, and he says, silver or gold, I don't have. I don't have what you're asking for. This is Matt's, this is my personality. I'm not going to feed your dysfunction anymore. I know all these other people have. I don't know how old the guy was, 30, 40, 50, 10, 11, 12, 20, I don't know, for however many years, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to feed your dysfunction. I'm not giving you money. I don't have any, maybe, but I don't have what you want right now, but what I do have, I am going to give you. See, I have the message of hope. I have the message of power. I have the message of transformation. I have the everything of God that God is and who He is inside of me, and I want to give that to you right now, because I know you may think you need money, but what you need is a transformation. What you need to do is get into the temple, to get into the presence of God, and so that transformation can take place. That's what He's saying to him. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I mean, he gets so specific. He all the way down to Nazareth, right? He wants him to know exactly who he's talking about, that he knows exactly what his life is and exactly what he needs. And he says, get up and walk. And I'm so glad it's Peter. I already said I'm glad it's Peter, because here's why. He's so direct. I mean, this is walking on water, Peter, right? this is tell it like it is, Peter. Sometimes his mouth wrote checks that his body couldn't cash. I like Peter, right? And I mean, he was so outspoken. This is swinging a sword, cutting off an ear, Peter. I mean, I love Peter. Love him. And what does he do? When he says this to him, in every other miracle story, it always says what happens to the person. They got up, they did whatever, and all the things happened. Demons were cast out of them, and they could talk, and they could see, and they got up and walked. But look, so specific. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. It doesn't say he got up. No, what does it say? It says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. I like this because sometimes I need, I'm going to say it for me, I'm not going to put this off on you, even though it's you too. It's the fact that sometimes I need somebody to grab me and yank me out of my dysfunction. Even though the words of Christ have been spoken over me, even though I know the miracle that I have asked for in my life, and I'm looking all around me and I don't see it, I need somebody else to point it out. I need somebody else to point out the goodness of God. I need somebody else to show me that my prayers have been answered. Maybe not in the way I wanted them answered, but in the way that God answered them. And for this man, Peter said, get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, he had to reach down and he had to yank him to his feet. I think a lot of you, and maybe me, I haven't found it in my life this week, but I know it's there, is a lot of us, we need a friend that will come along and say, I am not feeding your dysfunction anymore, and grab you by the whatever it is and yank you out of whatever it is. Amen? Boy, y'all don't like that at all. You're like, I want to be the friend that yanks somebody out. I know somebody right now. I'm calling them. I'm going to their house. That's great. I want you to be that person, but get ready to be yanked yourself. Because the power, look at this, the power, we're not going to get into theology, but the power was not necessarily in the words this time. The power was in the accountability of Peter saying, I know, Satan, that you're a liar and you have this man fooled and that he doesn't think he's healed. He doesn't think he can walk, but I know that he is and I'm going to show him. And Peter yanks him up. Okay, I know it says that he gave him a helping hand and he took his hand and he helped him to his feet. I don't think Peter ever gently did anything. I think everything was, ah! So he pulls him up. What do you need? Where is your weakness? Because look, so specific. Not that it just said, oh, he got to walk. No, it says, he jumped to his feet. He helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. You can pray for a miracle all day. You can ask for God to touch your life. You can say, Lord, hear my prayers. You know I need money. Lord, you know I need a better relationship. Lord, you know I need a better marriage. Lord, you know that I need to be a better parent. I need to be a better child. I need to know you more. Lord, I need to know your word better. I need to be in more communication with you. All those are very generic, and those are fine prayers, maybe. But what it really is, Lord, show me how to be a better husband, specifically. Here's where our problems are, right? I need patience. I need gentleness. I need kindness. I need self-control. I don't need wandering eyes anymore. I need to know how to love unconditionally. I need to know how to cherish. Remember that vow to love and to cherish? Many of us never knew what cherish really meant in the first place, but now we need to. Right, I need to know how to be very specific, because it doesn't say that God just healed his body. It said no, strength entered his ankles and his feet. Very specific. If you were in my small group study this past week, or if you got my text this last Thursday or Friday, it said, be asking God to show you where your weakness is. This is why. Is so he can show you where your weakness is, and he can heal that place in your life to bring restoration to the rest of your life. Because the guy was apparently fine except for his feet and his ankles. And that was holding him back from everything, from everywhere, from all of his stuff. Just because his feet and his ankles didn't work doesn't mean he couldn't go get a job. Just because his feet and his ankles didn't work didn't mean that he couldn't be a good husband or a good dad. It didn't mean he couldn't be a follower of God, right? It just the very one specific thing. And in that, we all, I think, find that because of that, our miracles require courage, because he had to get up and do something he had never done before. He had to rely on something he had never relied on before. He had to rely on his feet and his ankles and not other people. I think for us, we need to begin to rely and to have courage in Christ Jesus, because here's what he did because he had no point of reference for walking. Here's what he did because he had no point of reference for what God was calling to. Here's what he did, just like we all do, when you hear a message from me or anybody else about God, about Scripture, about Christ, and you don't think that it applies to you, when you say, that wasn't for me today, you know what you do? You do what he did. Nothing. It's easy not to do anything. It's easy to stay where we are. When we don't have a point of reference, it's easy to do nothing. But what God requires of us is the courage to do something. The Holy Spirit may be telling you to pray for somebody, and you say, gosh, I've never really prayed for anybody. I've never laid hands on anybody. I don't even like people. I don't want to pray for them, much less touch them. Right? I don't know what it's like to, you're calling me to be this. Well, I don't even know what it's like for that. You're calling me to tell truth about Scripture. I've never done that. I know it. Gosh, I know, I mean, I've read the Bible 10 times. I know Scripture, but you're asking me to do this because you don't have any point of reference. You've never done it before. And you've never been there before. Let me help you. Let somebody else help you. Let the Lord help you. To go someplace you've never been before, to live like you've never lived before. That's what the miracle is. That's what it could be for us today. And then the last thing is, miracles require the recognition, okay? The power was not just in the words. The power was not just in Peter pulling him up. The power was also in his witness. Do you know why it's important that you confess your weakness? You know why it's important that in your circle of friends or in your accountability group or your prayer group or your Bible study or whatever it is to in your marriage, right, is to talk about your weaknesses? It's because God allows our weaknesses to be on display so his glory can be on display when we're healed. So the glory of God can be displayed in the miracle. Not for shaming us because of our weakness. I've already said it. There's no condemnation in Christ. There's no condemnation in saying, gosh, I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good wife. I'm not the person God's called me to be. I'm a terrible friend. I'm not a good neighbor. I mean, just, I don't, whatever it is, right? There's no condemnation in that. How refreshing would it be if one of your friends came to you and said, man, can you really help me to be a better whatever? How great would that be? Because I know you're not going to say, I know you are a horrible, despicable person. God, you're terrible at that. No, what you're going to do is say, I don't think I'm the best either, but let's do this together. Let's look at Scripture and let's find what God tells us to and how he calls us to live and to hold each other accountable in that. And so when a great miracle comes, when a transformation comes, somebody else will recognize it. Somebody else will see it. It's so easy if you walked up here on crutches and we asked God for a miracle and I prayed over you for healing and you could throw your crutches down and walk away. Everybody go, oh, praise God, did you see that? But how about if you were the most impatient person on the face of the planet and your children were scared to approach you, to ask you for anything, and suddenly you became the most merciful and compassionate and patient parent on the planet? Your children are going, hallelujah. All children in the room are praying for their parents right now. But if none of us ever knew that, if you had never confessed that, how's anybody going to know? Miracles require recognition. And then people were affected by what they saw. Because that's where the miracle starts multiplying. When a miracle happens to one of you and other people see it, the miracle multiplies. Because transformations happen and lives get changed and people start seeing what God is doing. I've said it for years. I've said it a lot in the past few months and even two or three times this week. I believe the reason people don't come to church and to worship and follow God is they don't see any changes in any of our lives. Oof. Did somebody just say, oof? So true. So true. They don't see that we're any different than they are. They don't see we're any different than the not bashing any club, okay? They don't see that we're any different than the Lubbock Women's Club or the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or the Texas Tech Running Club or the whatever club, right? I mean, there's one of the greatest movements in California right now in social justice has formed. They meet every week for this great picnic, and they go out and they do social work, and they go out and they do community work, and guess who they are? They're the largest group of atheists in the United States. That's scary. That's shocking, because they're getting recognized, but they're not getting recognized for who they are. They're getting recognized for what they're doing. And when we get recognized for what God's doing in our lives, it will change who people are, because we get to be a witness. Let me say that again. When people recognize what God is doing in our lives, it will change who they are, because we get to witness about who He is. See, that's where part of the miracle is. That's what we need in all of our lives today. You sang it. You believe in the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. You named so many names of who Jesus is, but are you really ready to make a commitment? Do you really have the courage? Are you really ready to recognize? Are you really ready to say, I need, right? I need, and to really let that go. So here's what I want to do today. It is participatory, okay? And I hope that maybe you texted somebody, maybe people are watching online right now. You can do it at home. We're going to do it here. I don't know if y'all have noticed, because it kind of blends in. I've been told I need to point these out. There's cushions on each side for kneeling and for prayer. And, I mean, there's all this space up here. You're going to be on camera if you're up here. I'm just going to tell you. If you're over on the side, you're not, okay? But, again, there's no shame. But I really think, I know, and I don't know, I can't always see everybody that's here. I know there's circumstances in your lives that need the miracle working power of Jesus Christ today, right? Today. And when Peter and John prayed for him, when Peter yanked him up, he didn't grab his hand and said, hey, in the next few days, a miracle's coming. Hey, it's good to see you. Appreciate it. Good luck. No, he meant now. And when we reach out and we take that hand, it's a now thing, okay? And proverbially, many of you will throw down your crutches today if you will just reach for the miracle power of God. And it might be in your relationships, in your finances, in your children, in your future, in whatever it is. God wants to take you to a new place. God wants to help you, to take you out of your dysfunction if you'll just reach up. You don't have to stay the same way that you've always been. I don't care how you got there. And let me tell you this, that maybe, right, it took that man sitting there every day to be able to run in to Peter and John as they were walking into the temple that particular day. So you may need to be as old as you are today to get to the place where you are today to have you, hallelujah, listening to me today tell you about Jesus. I'm not the one that provides the power. God is. Maybe you needed to be in that dysfunction to get you to this place, right? To get you to rock bottom. To get you to a place where somebody says, no more, it's time for you to get up. No more. You may not have heard this term before, but we talk about it in preacher circles, my holy discontent. What makes me uneasy with the conviction of God in my life. My uneasiness is what makes me uneasy has always been for you to not be transformed, for you to stay where you are. And if you know me, I will be the guy to walk up to you and grab your hand and yank you as hard as I possibly can if I know that it will pull you out of that dysfunction. And I have specific people on my mind today, and my prayer is, I really wrestle with this, and some of y'all are going, I'm never coming back to church in this place again because he might do it one day. I thought about walking out and saying, you need to be up here today. And I may be wrong for not doing it, but I'm not going to do it because I want you to come back. But you know. Couples, you know. Children, you know. Friends, you know. People that, I mean, you're about to go back to school. Some of you are going off to college. Some of you are in a new place in your relationship. Some of you are just struggling to stay together, to even like each other right now. You know you need to make a commitment. And I'm a firm believer that there's a response from God when we make a physical response to Him. Not to fill the pews and not to fill the prayer rails. I just don't buy into all of that. What I do buy into is people coming to Christ and showing that, here I am, Lord. I'm willing to make a public display. Not even anybody knows. I'm willing to make a public display that I need you. I think it's so true. So, I want you to respond today. You are ready for a miracle. There's not a question mark there. You are ready for a miracle. The question is, are you going to reach out and take it? Are you going to? Are you going to? Are you going to? Lord, I am so excited about the potential of what you want to do in every one of our lives, Lord. And it's like there's this great river and lake of holiness and healing and restoration is being held back by this giant dam. And all of our fingers are in this dam. And if any one of us would just pull out and create that avenue for you to flow, Lord, I believe there would be a breakthrough. I think there is a breakthrough coming in someone's life today if they would just allow you to inundate them with your holiness today. Marriages could be better. Reconciliation could happen. Phone calls could be made today to express heartfelt apologies and sorrow. Phone calls could be made today to express just great gratitude and love for people that are not around us. Intimacy could be closer and better. Children would know the love of a parent like they never have before. Parents would know the respect and adoration that children have for them. Neighbors would come together and love on each other and help each other. If we would just let you, we would become a great witness for you to the world. Let it be so today. In the name of Christ, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.